thrill out of watching Brother and Sister Mendoza. They must have Red Bull running through their veins. I don't know. They are on fire all the time. And we appreciate your faithful support. You have supported us for many, 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 many years. And it's faithful like clockwork. And we certainly appreciate it and the stand that this church takes, and appreciate each and every one of you. Wasn't that video a blessing?
Yes.
Boy, to be a part of that. You know, Brother Paul said, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. And every soul that's saved there, that's fruit that abounds to your account. And missionaries like myself cannot do what we do if it was not for churches like this that stand behind us. I often carry this with me, and I do ministry at Airway Heights up there Monday night, most of Tuesday, up there on Sunday. We have the at the camp. It's broken down into the main and then the camp. Of course, I cover the five states, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Nevada, and basically, but I do a lot at Airway Heights. And at the camp, there was a man by the name of Danny, and he would sit at the very back. He was quiet. When we take prayer requests, Danny never raised his hand. You wouldn't even know when he was there. He just sat there, and he took it all in. And one Sunday night, Danny responded to the gospel and got saved. Now, Danny was part of the fire crews that work with the Department of Natural Resources, and they go out and they fight fires. If you go into the parking lot, there's four or five of those red trucks there. I don't know what they call them, but the fire teams go out and do that. And Danny was part of one of those teams. I was preaching a missions conference in Hastings, Nebraska, and my son Scott was covering for me at Airway. And he called me and to let me know how things were going at Airway. And I said, well, how's it going, Scott? How'd the services go? And he said, the men were down tonight a little bit. And I said, what's going on? A lot of times when there's a execution down at Walla Walla, it'll kind of permeate through the whole prison system, and that can cause it. Sometimes it's just various things. But he said, no, he said, you remember that young man by the name of Danny that sat at the back? I said, yes, I remember him. He said he was out on the fire crews. He was operating a chainsaw, and he was cutting trees down so that the wouldn't jump the road and the fire wouldn't jump the road. And he had done it many times under supervision, and he was cutting that tree, and it didn't go the way that he thought it would go, and it came across some power lines, and those power lines came down, and he was electrocuted. I carry this with me because it's a copy of the memorial service that they held at Airway Heights. And let me tell you this, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. 178 days from that Sunday night when Danny received Christ as his personal Savior, he slipped out to eternity. Church, that's fruit that abounds to your account. And when we all get to heaven, there's going to be a young man, I suppose, who might come up to you and say, I sure thank you for supporting that loudmouth preacher that came out to Airway Heights and spit all over us and jumped around and did this, that, and the other, because I got saved out there. That's fruit that abounds to your account. As you know, we are not holding services in the prisons right now. They're shut down because of the COVID. But we're hoping that it will open up right after the first of the year. It's what I'm told. Sometime after the first of the year, we'll go back in. We have the largest attendance at the camp by far. We pack the chapel out nearly every Sunday night. At the main, it's a little bit different over there. We don't have as great attendance over there. But a couple of years ago, the chaplain out there, Chaplain Lucci, contacted me and said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." Well, I'm thinking that probably my preaching got me in trouble. And I went out and he said, "Chuck, I need your help." And I said, "Well, I'll help you if I can." He said, "We've got an opportunity here for you." He said, we had a man, as you know, we have a faith addictions program here, and we have a secular addictions program, but we have a faith-based addictions program." And he said, "The man who has been doing that for years is up in years, his health has failed him, and he can no longer continue." He said, "I'd like you to take that program and run with it." He said, "You're very well liked out here, you'll draw good." He said, "Would you take that?" And I said, "What is it?" And he told me, and I said, "No, I can't take that. Doctrinally, it's not where we're at." He said, no. He said, just put that all aside. We need your help." And I said, "I can't push doctrine aside. But I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm not involved with it. But our church, not long ago, started a program called the Reformers Unanimous. I don't know if anybody here has heard about that, RU. And it's a faith-based addictions program. I went out to the car and I had a brochure that I had picked up at church and had it in the car, and I brought it into him, and he looked at it and he said, "That's exactly what we need here." I said, I'm not qualified, I'm not trained in the Reformers Unanimous program, but I will contact our director. And I contacted Brother Jim, and Brother Jim and I met with the chaplain, and we started the RU program out there at the main. On Tuesday afternoon, we're there about 3 hours, and then at the camp from 6:30 to 8:30 at night. And they go through a very regimented program, and it helps them with their addictions to alcohol, addictions to drugs, addictions to whatever. You can have any kind of addiction. And so that's, well, hopefully when we get back in, that the crowds will come, and you can make that a matter of prayer if you would. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And this is a emphasis on missions, winning the lost, both at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And look at Matthew chapter 9, if you would. And we'll begin reading in verse 35. I wish you would remember me in prayer. For some reason, I've lost my mind. And tomorrow morning, my wife's going to hold a gun to my head and get me on a kayak. I'm trying to figure out, preacher, how to put a saddle on that thing. I might do okay if I put a saddle on it, but we're going to go kayaking. So if you read about something in the paper, somebody drowned on the Spokane River. Heaven bound, amen. Heaven bound. I don't know. But look at Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I do pray that you would just speak to each and every heart. Speak to my heart this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just intervene. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful church. Thank you for Pastor's friendship. And thank you for his dear wife that has stood behind him all these years. And thank you for many here that we have known for years and are just keeping on for Jesus. Lord, I pray as we open up the Scriptures, I pray that you'd be honored, you'd be lifted up, that you'd be glorified. And I do pray if there's any in our midst that know not Christ, they're not 100% sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray that they'd be saved today before it's eternally too late. Lord, we want to commit this service to you and praise you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1988, I believe it was, a young man and his young wife and two small children left Georgia as young missionaries with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And they went to Rawlins, Wyoming, to be the missionary chaplain at the Wyoming State Penitentiary. But in the process of all of that, Brother Terry was given the 15 western states. That's quite an area. North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, everything west. Didn't include Texas, but everything west. And Brother Terry saw the vast need out here as he not only was the volunteer missionary chaplain at the penitentiary at Wyoming, but as he traveled and opened up the Washington State Penitentiary, opened up McNeil Island, which was federal at that time. Now, of course, it's closed down. Opened up Pine Lodge and several other prisons out here in the West. And he saw the great need. And he began to claim Matthew 9 and verse 36. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And it wasn't long after he prayed, a pastor up in Kalispell, Montana, by the name of Gene Blackburn, surrendered to come with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And then it wasn't long after that, 1995, that just after moving into our new facility out on Forker Road in Spokane, in the valley, that I surrendered, stepped down from the pastorate of that church, and my son became the pastor, and I went with Rock of Ages. And then it wasn't long after that that a man back in West in Virginia surrendered to come with Rock of Ages to be the missionary chaplain at the Washington State Penitentiary. His name, Floyd Stevens. And we were in our annual conference back in Georgia, and a man came to me and said, you see that skinny white-haired fellow over there? He's going to the Washington State Penitentiary to be a missionary chaplain there. Boy, brother, I got so excited about that. Boy, I went over and I said, my name is Chuck Donnelly. I'm a revival coordinator out in the West, and I understand you're going to the Washington State Penitentiary. I said, that's wonderful. How you doing? He looked at me, he said, I'm as confused as a BB in a water tower, and I got both feet firmly planted in midair. I said, what? I went back, I told my wife, I said, they're going to have to screen these candidates a little better. That guy's nuts. He's doing a tremendous job down at the Washington State Penitentiary. And then it wasn't long after that, a man who had been in the Air Force was helping me in revivals. Surrendered and came with Rock of Ages. His name's Lance Hohenstreet.
He's going to be here in 2 weeks.
Yep. I'm sorry. You know, if you wouldn't mind, time out for a minute. If you wouldn't mind, tell Brother Lance that I thought I taught his wife better. I was her pastor for several years. How she got yoked up with him, I'll never know. You can pass that on to him. And then Rick Terrazas came with us to work with the juveniles. and then Brother Stone. And on it went. But it all started with, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I want to preach on verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. And here it is, church. But the laborers are few. The laborers are few. I want to preach for just a few moments on labor trouble. Labor trouble. I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go to John chapter 4. And in John chapter 4, we see a verse that's very similar. John 4 and verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are already, they're ready to be harvested right now. I preach on a problem that Jesus faced, pastors face, missionaries face, any aspect of ministry faces this problem. Labor problem. Labor problem. One of the first prisons that my wife and I did was the Tacoma pre-release over in Tacoma, Steilacoom. It was an old prison, and we did ministry there for several years. There was a retired military chaplain there by the name of Art Skinner. Art Skinner is a tremendous Bible teacher. We'd go early for some services just to hear him teach the Bible. Tremendous Bible teacher. They closed down the Tacoma pre-release, and he applied for a position up at the women's prison at Belfair. It's called Mission Creek. And he went up there and was the DOC, Department of Corrections chaplain there at Mission Creek. And then he had the opportunity to go to Ataneview, which is down by Yakima, in Yakima, and he became the chaplain down there. And thinking about military retirement, thinking about DOC retirement, he bought a apple farm or an apple orchard just outside of Selah. And he would tell us, any time that you're going from the east side to the west side, to some of the prisons over there at Monroe or at Cedar Creek or at all five of the prisons in Monroe, come by and we'll load you up with apples. And so we made an appointment with him, and he said, I'll not be there, but my foreman will be there. He'll load you up with apples from our orchard. And I said, that's great. So we set up a time. We went, and when we got there, we found out his foreman was not there. His foreman had gone into Oregon because there was not enough laborers in the area over there to pick the crops. They were ready to be picked, and he went into Oregon to find people to come and to pick the crops. Now that's labor problem in a secular sense. But Jesus here is dealing with labor problems in the spiritual sense. And so I want to mention a few things about this portion of Scripture in Matthew and chapter 9. Look at verse 36. Well, let's read verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, Jesus was always looking for opportunities to help people. When Jesus saw the multitudes, his eyes were always open to the needs of the people. Why? Because the needs are great. The needs are great. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51 says that the eye affecteth the heart. The eye affecteth the heart. Let me ask you, as you go about your daily routine, off to work tomorrow and wherever or whatever you're doing tomorrow and the next day, and you pass by people every single day, maybe every single hour, what do you see? Well, are we not supposed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus? When Jesus saw the multitudes, what do you see? What do you see? People need the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
People need the Lord. When he saw the multitudes. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now that verse is often, I wouldn't say misused, but it's not the primary teaching. When I pastored in Spokane, we had a theme for every year. And one of our themes had to do with vision. Sunday school teachers, have a vision for your class. Bus ministry workers, have a vision for your bus route. Choir, have a vision for the choir, and on and on and on. That doesn't do the verse an injustice, but that is not the primary teaching of that verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The primary teaching of that verse is where there is no word from the Lord, where there is no message from the Lord. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Where would you be if someone had not shared the gospel with you? I came back from Vietnam and 1968, I became a drunk, just an absolute drunk. I drank everything I could get my hands on. It's a miracle, grace of God, that my wife stayed with me. I was not saved. We had some friends, Hank and Jane Orth. They were Christians and they had a burden for me and my wife and our children. And a brand new church started in Seattle. And Hank and Jane were going to that church. And the pastor said, if you have people that you'd like me to go visit, he passed out 3x5 cards. He said, write down their names and their addresses and so forth. And Hank and Jane, I think it was Hank, wrote down Chuck and Debbie Donnelly. 27106 Northeast Ames Lake Road, Carnation, Washington. He's a drunk, he's got a lot of guns, and he hates preachers. Why don't you go visit him? We had a long driveway that went up past a little makeshift horse corral and up past the barn. That pastor drove all the way out from Seattle to Carnation. That's a pretty good hike. Drove all the way out there, left his car at the foot of our long driveway with the engine running and walked up and knocked on our door. He said, I'm Don Dinsmore from the Greater Puget Sound Baptist Church. Came out to visit. I said, come on in. Boy, his eyes got about as big as a bullfrog. I don't think he wanted to come in. I said, have to sit down. It's a wonder I didn't offer him a beer or something. I didn't get saved that night, but I told my wife, I said, you know, that man cared enough for me to come all the way out there. We're going to go in and visit him on Sunday. And we went on in. And I sat there, and he was just starting a church. I mean, he was the greeter at the door. He was the preacher. He took the offering. I mean, he was like one of these guys on the street corner playing all those instruments, you know. And I thought, good Latin. And then he got up and preached. And I thought, mercy, he's a nut. That guy's crazy. You know what? We left that Sunday, and I know my wife was thinking, well, that's it for that. But we went back that next Sunday. You know why? Because I wanted to hear what the nut was going to say.
Amen.
And we went back, and we went back, and we went back. And on December 12, 1976, I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
When he saw the multitudes, when he saw the multitudes. You know, the thing about it is, I was at my office one day. I've got offices all over the United States. I do. They're called McDonald's. And I was sitting at McDonald's up by the Airway Heights. And I had my, no, I think I was out in the valley on Sprague. And I was at that McDonald's. And I had my Bible open and I was reading it. I was writing some notes down. And an older couple was sitting not far from me. And when they got up, they came by and they stopped and they said, it's so refreshing to see somebody with their Bible open. And we noticed that you prayed before you ate. And my curiosity got me. And I said to that elderly couple, I said, are you Christians? Do you know the Lord? And they said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. We've been saved for a lot of years. And then they said, we don't know where we would be without the Lord.
Yes.
And the wife got teary-eyed, and she said, we're so, so afraid for our grandchildren. Afraid for our grandchildren. But when he saw the multitudes, every year we have a theme song at the church that my wife and I go to. We're members, we're sent out of that church. Faith Baptist Church over in Spokane. Pastor Boyle is our pastor. And every year there's a theme song. And the theme song for this year, and we sing it several times during the service, but we always close with it. It's simply entitled, To See as God Sees. To see as God sees a world lost in sin, sunk deep in despair with no hope within. Go tell of his love on Calvary's tree, and may we always see the way that God sees. And when he saw the multitudes. But there's a second thing. Notice when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Not only did he look, not only did he see the multitudes, but when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. How's your compassion level today? When you look upon the multitudes, you know that, how many of you have ever thought about something? And then after you thought about it, you got convicted by it and said, that's not right thinking. Anybody ever been there? I guess I'm the only one. Well, that's all right. I was headed to the prison at Airway Heights. I was coming down Division, and then I got on I-90 and headed up toward the prison. And as you're going past probably third or fourth, somewhere in there, there's a underpass that you go under. And every Sunday night, about 5:15, I'm going under that underpass, headed up to the prison, Airway Heights, and you look over, and it is wall to wall with homeless people. I mean, trash everywhere. And I was going up and I was thinking one Sunday night, brother, that is disgusting. And boy, I didn't hardly get on that freeway, and the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicted me like that and said, what those people need is the Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
Those people need the Lord. When he saw, he was moved with compassion. Jude, verse 22, and some having compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. You know, I read years ago about some Special Olympics. You all know what Special Olympics are. They're people that have certain handicaps and different things. Special Olympics were being held over in Seattle years ago. And it got time for the 100-yard dash. And 10 lined up to run the 100-yard dash, Special Olympics. And the guy with the pistol, I guess, said, on your mark, get set, boom. And they all began to run to the best of their ability. Some not making much progress, some making more progress, but all trying to reach that goal line, that finish line. And a little boy fell onto that cinder turf and skinned his knee up, and he began to whine and cry and whimper, and they all stopped, and a young lady with Down syndrome went back to that young boy with his knee bleeding, knelt down beside him and put her lips to that bloody knee and kissed it and said, that'll make it better. And the 9 picked that young boy up. They joined hands and they crossed the finish line together.
Yes.
Compassion. 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 How many of you have ever been to a place where you've said, I've seen it all, and then you see something else and say, now I've seen it all?
Yeah.
When I was still living in the Tri-Cities, Eltopia, farming down there, I would drive to Airway Heights several times a week, 261 miles round trip, and I'd drive up for my services. On the fifth Sunday of the month, when there were 5 Sundays in a month, I had an afternoon class up there. Men, inmates that felt the Lord had called them into ministry or to prepare for ministry when they'd get out. And let me say this, nobody can reach inmates like other inmates. You see, I can't say to those men at Airway Heights or those ladies down at Pocatello or those inmates at Deer Lodge, I can't say, I know what you're going through. That'd be a lie, because I've not sat where they sat. But an inmate can say, hey, I've sat where you sat. My DOC number is 87432. And boy, you get they get their attention. I made it. You can make it too. But there were some inmates out there that felt like the Lord had called them to preach. And I asked the chaplain if I could hold a discipleship class to teach those men how to prepare sermons and how to be preachers. That was on Sunday afternoon. I'd get done about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I had a blocked 2-hour time before I had to be back to the prison to clear in for my evening service. And so I'd go to my office. McDonald's, just around the corner there. You know where the McDonald's was up there. And I'd go there. And a lot of times, because they've remodeled the lobby now, but they wouldn't have a lot of chairs. Most of the places to sit and be were back where they had that play area, you know, where the kids can climb up there, and some mom or dad looks and says, please come down. I'll buy you an ice cream if you come. We got to go. Please come down. The kid, I'm not coming out of this thing. And I was back there. I was so well known up there. When I'd walk in, they'd say, here comes the preacher. He wants a chicken sandwich, 3 raisin oatmeal cookies, and a black coffee. I didn't have to order. And I'd get that, and I went back into that playroom area back there, and there's just myself back there and 2 little boys. That's all that's back there. And I sat in that booth, my Bible open, looking at my notes, chicken sandwich, the cookies, the coffee, and one of the little boys slipped in my booth, and he, looking at the cookie. I said, do you want a cookie? Do you like cookies? Would you like a cookie? I said, help yourself. He got one. It was like Pac-Man. Gone. Off he went. Now, his younger brother slips in. He wants a cookie. I gave him a cookie and boom, gone. Now the older brother, he comes back. He slips in. I said, Buster, you ain't getting that last cookie. I was a little light on compassion that day. But I said, you're not getting that cookie. And then it dawned on me. I said, are you here with Grandma and Grandpa? No. Are you here with Mom and Dad? Well, not exactly. I said, well, who are you here with? Said, well, Mom drops us off so we can play in this play area. And she goes over to the prison, which is right across the way, to visit Dad. And then when she's done, she comes back and picks us up. And I thought the only hope that those little boys have is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope they have is the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Now notice what it says. Now he addresses the problem. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Jesus gets right to the point. He said, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Here back about several weeks ago, I came across the most amazing statistic. I was shocked, really, really shocked. But I just don't have any doubt that it's probably true. It was in a major Christian periodical. This is what it said. Only 5% of saved people have ever won a soul to Christ. 5% have ever won a soul to Christ. Only 2% are active today. Only 2%. You know what that tells me? 98% of those that claim to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are not engaged in winning people to Christ. I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're drawing this to a close, but I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Some very familiar verses. Look at verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Amen. We're going to skip down. Look at verse 17 for the sake of time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now we come to to the crux of it, look at verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. All right, here it is in a nutshell. You have been reconciled to God when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were born into the family of God. And because you've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, you, not just the preacher, not just the missionary, not just the deacon, not just the Sunday school teacher, but those that have been reconciled to God through the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. You have been given a ministry. And that ministry is the ministry of reconciliation, of telling others how they can be reconciled to God through the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've had people tell me, well, I just don't have that spiritual gift. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, a couple of other places list the spiritual gifts. That's not one of the spiritual gifts. That is a plain command from the Lord Jesus Christ that you are to be involved in reconciling the lost to God through the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an option. It's not window one, window two, or window three. It is a plain command. And when Jesus gives us a command, we ought to obey it. Amen?
Amen.
If you love me, keep my commandments. He gets right to the problem. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now he gives the remedy. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. We are to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, you know why a lot of people don't want to pray that? He might call me. He might call me. Well, preacher, I'll pray about going out on church visitation. You don't have to pray about it. You need to show up. Amen?
Amen.
You need to show up. Well, it's just not my gift. Don't pull that. You won't find that in Scripture. Well, if people are going to get, you know, this old hellish doctrine going around that of Calvinism, that whoever's going to get saved is going to get saved. Some are predestined for heaven and some are predestined for hell. Well, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. For whosoever, Romans 10, 13, how many understand that word, whosoever? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, unless you're predestined to go to hell.
Yeah.
People that believe that junk don't have the spirituality to blow the fuzz off a peanut. Amen.
Amen.
Labor trouble. Labor trouble. You know, brother, when I was pastoring, not one time did I ever have anybody come down the aisle and say, preacher, we'd just like to get involved in this church. Well, brother, I'll put you on the waiting list. We're all filled up right now. But maybe down the road, you know, maybe down the road. Oh, sorry about that shoulder. You just had surgery. Labor problem. Do you know what our pastor, Pastor Greg Boyle, great church, great church, went to the pulpit a few weeks ago, begging and pleading, begging for ladies to get involved in the nursery work. He said, we need some ladies to work in our nursery. The few that we've got in there, you're wearing them out. We need some laborers to labor in the nursery. Several years ago, he had this problem, and he said, okay, time out. No nurseries today. Bring them all into the auditorium. Boy, you talk about chaos. Just about the time of point number one in the poem, a hat pin. He said, have I made my point? Have I made my point? Labor trouble. Labor problems. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Now I want to close with this. You get mad, that's okay, because I'm leaving.
Been there.
Now let me ask you a fair question. If everybody in this church was as active as you are, what kind of a church would you have? That's a fair question, is it not? It's a fair question. And that's why a lot of people say, well, I attend, but I'm not joining because they think they don't have to make a commitment. Nod your little heads up and down. Well, we didn't even get an amen out of that one, brother. Labor trouble. Maybe it's time for someone to roll up their sleeves and go to the pastor and say, I've been sitting on the sidelines long enough. Or maybe God is calling you to go to Uruguay, Brazil, some foreign country. Maybe God is calling you to be a song leader with Rock of Ages. Oh, sorry, Pastor. Erase that from the tape. I don't know what the needs are, but I know that all across this country there's labor trouble. Labor trouble. The fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Let's bow our heads. Father, I do thank you for the privilege to be able to stand behind this pulpit, open up the Word of God, and to preach. Now, with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, in this great church, this church that's biblically sound on doctrine and has a vision to reach the world, but perhaps even in our midst, there'd be somebody that would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But I know I don't want to die and go to a devil's hell, that's for sure. And if there's a way to know, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Maybe there be somebody in our midst you need to trust Christ today. Maybe there's somebody in our midst you need to roll your sleeves up and just get involved. Labor trouble. I've been sitting on the sidelines long enough. I need to get involved. Preacher, put me to work. Put me to work. Maybe it's simply going out on church visitation into the highways and the hedges and telling people about Christ. Maybe God's calling somebody to the foreign field. I don't know. But I know all across our land and all across the world, there's labor trouble. Labor trouble. Father, I pray now that you'd bless the invitation, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.